we have spoken, this is the psalm. We have such an high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of the better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities, and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Now with the mistakes that I made, I read the entire 8th chapter of Hebrews. And as I always do, and I hope you all don't get tired of hearing me say this, but it's my earnest prayer that God will bless the reading of his word and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. I want to use as my subject title for today, The Better Covenant. The Better Covenant. The book of Hebrews is a very interesting book. I believe the Apostle Paul was the writer of the book. I believe it was written just a short time before his death. If we go to the last chapter in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, we find the Apostle Paul used these words in his salutation. He said, Now the God of peace that brought again the dead. Let me start over. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And he said in the 22nd verse, in the latter part of the verse, I have written a letter unto you in few words. I think that letter was the book of Hebrews. And he said, knowing that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. And he then said, they of Italy salute you, and grace be with you all. Amen. Now, Paul had sent for Timothy to come unto him shortly. And I believe Timothy made the trip. And Timothy probably was imprisoned after he got to Rome, as was the Apostle Paul. But he said Timothy had been set at liberty. That is, he had been set free. And so he sent this letter by Timothy to the Hebrew Christians. And this letter is very important. It was very important in that day. And the reason why, in the first century, after Jesus had been born and had completed his ministry, he was condemned and he was crucified, and the Church of the Lord Jesus, those who had been saved under the ministry of John the Baptist and had been baptized, and those whom had heard the word of God by the apostles and had been baptized, and those who had heard Jesus preach, they were called followers of Jesus. He called them his disciples. They were following Jesus. But there was a great persecution against the followers of Jesus. The Judaizers, those who were of the Jewish belief, they were doing everything that they could to hinder those who were following Jesus. We know from the book of Acts and also from the book of Galatians that there were those who were saying, you know, you can't be saved by grace through faith. You're going to have to keep the law. You're going to have to be circumcised and keep the law in order to be saved. And so they were a great hindrance to the Christians. And of course, the Judaizers, they are the ones that brought all the accusations against Christ. They brought the accusations against Paul and against the others who were serving the Lord. And so they were a great hindrance. And so the Apostle Paul, he wrote this letter to these Hebrew Christians to encourage them and to help them to understand. Now there was, I read about two different covenants in this eighth chapter of the book of Hebrews. The first covenant was the covenant that God made with the children of Israel. Moses, you know, had been raised up by God to give deliverance to the children of Israel. They were in bondage in Egypt. And so he brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. I mean, God's mighty hand. They had crossed the Red Sea. A miracle took place. They were on their way out of Egypt. And they came to the Red Sea. And the mountains on the right-hand side, the mountains on the left-hand side, Pharaoh and his army pursuing them. Behind them. And So it appeared that they were hemmed in. But Moses, he interceded with God, as he did many times on behalf of the people. And God told Moses, you tell them to stand still, and they'll see the salvation of the Lord. And so he stretched out the rod over the sea, and it parted. And the water stood up on each side. And there was a path through the waters, and they went through on dry land. Now we go over to the book of Exodus just for a moment. And in the 19th chapter of that book, in beginning at the first verse, I want to share with you something here. This was in the third month when Israel had gone forth out of the land of Egypt. And the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. And the Bible says that Moses went up unto God. When I was studying this, I thought about, wonder how many trips Moses made up and down that mountain. Sometimes he went up seeking to talk with the Lord. At other times, he went up because the Lord had spoken to him and said, Moses, come up here on the mountain. I want to talk with you. But he made a lot of trips up and down that mountain at different times. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain. And he said, speak to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you've seen what I've done in Egypt, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you'll obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And he said unto me, a kingdom of priests. Now, I misread that. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So Moses called them together, and he told them what God had said. And the people answered and said, well, all that the Lord saith we'll do. And so the Bible tells us, and I won't take a lot of time in this, the Bible tells us that God called Moses up into the mountain, and he gave to him the Ten Commandments. He spoke them, in fact, in an audible voice to the children of Israel. The Bible said that they heard his voice. And he gave them the Ten Commandments. And he also gave Moses the pattern for the tabernacle. And all of the officers and the instruments of service that that would be needed in carrying out the work at the tabernacle. And when it was all finished, Moses had written this all in a book. And he called the children of Israel together, and he read the book. And they said, well, all that that God has said, we will do. And so Moses, He ratified that covenant. It was an agreement. It was a covenant between God and the children of Israel. And so it was ratified. They agreed and they committed to that covenant. And then Moses, he made a sacrifice, and he took the blood of that animal sacrifice and he sprinkled it on the book. The covenant, he sprinkled it on the people, and so they agreed to follow the commandments of the Lord and to be God's representative among all the heathen nations of the earth. I want to make this clear. This was not did not have reference to the salvation of the soul in any way. This was an agreement by the people that they would live by the commandments of the Lord, and that they would represent him among the heathen. And so that covenant was ratified. And I want to say no one has ever been saved through the terms of that covenant. That was a different kind of covenant. That was a covenant of works. And the Bible says that by the deeds of the law, by carrying out the law, living according to the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. And so that's what is referred to as being the old covenant. And the Judaizers, they were very, very strict, you know, about the law of Moses, and carrying out the law of Moses. At least they were strict in their teachings. But Jesus said that they say and do not, you know. So it's one thing to preach a sermon, but it's another thing to practice a sermon. And it's one thing to say, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm following the Lord. But it's another thing, you know, to really live the way the Lord wants us to live. But anyway, that's the first covenant. That's the old covenant. And the Bible says that if it had been perfect, it would not have been replaced. If it had been perfect, then there would have been no need to have given another covenant. But it was not perfect. And we can read in the Bible about this. And I will, if I can find it here in just a very short time. I may have already read it. Yeah, verse 8, I did read it. I'm going to read verse 7 first. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. So that first covenant, the problem was with the children of Israel. They did not live up to their side of the bargain. And you know, that's why salvation is by grace and not by works. It's impossible for us to live and meet the standards of the law of God. We can't do it. We are sinners and we sin and we come short of the glory of God. And we, though we may try to live perfect, there's none of us that ever have. We are sinners in the sight of God. And so that covenant, as I said, was a covenant of works. And the purpose of it was for them to represent God among the heathen. And so he said, I'll make a new covenant. Now this is a better covenant. I started to say a while ago, this book of Hebrews was written, and there are 9 different places in the book of Hebrews in describing, you know, the new covenant and the benefits of the new covenant that describe it as being better than that of the old covenant. I can turn over in my book of my Bible. There's some definitions and so on back here, but I want you to see the apostle referred to the better revelation. Under, you know, that covenant was under the law. This covenant is under grace, this new covenant. It's in the dispensation of grace. Everything about the new covenant is better than the old covenant was. Better revelation. You know, the prophets, they prophesied concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus. But in the gospel dispensation, the Lord Jesus came and he spake to the people himself. He was, as the Bible talks about him in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, as being brightness of God's glory and the express image of God's person and upholding all things with the word of his power. And it talks about he had when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And the Bible says that we beheld him. You know, the people in the Old Testament under the law, they read and heard what the prophets had to say about the one who would come. But in the dispensation of grace, the people were able to see Jesus and they were able to hear him. And he brought a greater and a fuller revelation of the promises of God. So it is better. The revelation from God is better in under the dispensation of grace. The hope we sang a while ago, whispering hope. You know, the hope, this was given that we might have a better hope. And the Lord Jesus, he had a better priesthood. You know, the priests under the law, they were just men. You know, and they had to offer sacrifices for their own sins before they could offer sacrifice for somebody else. But it was not necessary for Jesus to make a sacrifice for himself because he was without sin. And so he became our high priest and he represents us in the presence of God. And the sacrifice that he offered was himself. And he died on the cross. So the priesthood in the gospel dispensation is far better than that in the old dispensation and under the law. It is a better covenant. It has better promises. And it has better sacrifices and better possessions and better, we're looking forward to a better country. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they dwelt in tents and they were looking for a city that had foundations whose builder and maker was God. And they testified by doing this. They were saying, we're looking for a better country than this one. And so the gospel dispensation presents a lot better place than this for us to go to when life is over. And it also speaks of having a better resurrection as a result of Jesus coming. Now, I don't know if I'm making that clear to you all or not. I hope that I am. I'm trying to show you that, you know, the old covenant did not save. It could not save. The Bible tells us that by the keeping of the law, no flesh can be justified in the sight of God. And so Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, he said this. He said, by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And there are lots of people, even today, you know, they just cannot believe that you can be saved by grace through faith. They insist there's got to be some works in there. You've got to do something, you know. You may get saved by grace, but if you keep it, you're going to have to do some works. Well, we should do some works. It's God's will that we do works. The Bible said in verse 10, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says let me back up. I'll have to quote the whole thing if I get it in there. Is that by grace are you saved? Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'll go to Ephesians and read it. Now listen to what he said, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, or for the purpose of doing good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so certainly those of us who are saved by God's grace, God wants us to walk in the path of righteousness. He wants us to live an exemplary life. He wants us to be a light to those who are in darkness. He wants us to be the salt of the earth. He wants us to live in such a way that people will have, confidence in us, and will believe us when we tell them that Jesus saves, and that he saves by grace, and he saves because of your faith in the Lord Jesus. He wants us to be that witness for him. So I want to go back over here just for a minute, and I'll not talk a long time. I hope I won't anyway. But that old covenant, you know, it passed away. It is no longer in effect. I want you to listen to this. Jesus, he said, the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, he said, the kingdom of heaven is preached. And so the old covenant, it could not save. It was not designed to save anybody. Works, you can't get saved by works. But you can get saved through faith in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus, satisfied God. He did keep the law. He kept every jot and every tittle. Jesus said that heaven and earth would pass away, but he said, my word shall not pass away. And it also said that every jot and every tittle, every detail of the law would be fulfilled. And Jesus fulfilled it. And that old covenant, though, it passed away. And the new covenant that has been preached and has been set forth from the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to make this clear, too. There's never been but one plan of salvation. Now, God, you know, he dealt with people one-on-one. He dealt with Adam, you know. He talked with Adam. He talked with Noah. And he talked with Abraham. He talked with Isaac, with Enoch, you know. God has always, talked to the hearts of people himself. Personally, and there's never been but one way to be saved, and that was manifested when God spoke to the devil, and he said, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and said, you will bruise his heel, but he'll bruise your head. And he was having reference to the seed of the woman, which is Jesus. And so the way of salvation has never changed. The way of salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that made that sacrifice in behalf of all of us. Now, when he went to the cross, he didn't, shed an animal's blood and put the animal on the cross. Jesus himself was crucified, and he paid the sin debt for all of us. Now, I want to get this new covenant that he made with the people. He said, under this new covenant, and I read this, but I want to read it again. He said, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind, and in their heart will I write them. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Salvation is a personal thing. It is a relationship with God. When you get saved, you know, God gives you the knowledge of salvation. And you know him, and he knows you. In fact, John chapter 17 says this, and I'll have to turn over there and get it. John chapter 17. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. If you don't know God, you don't have eternal life. If you have eternal life, you know God. You know God because he's dealt with you. You know God because he has convicted you of your sins. You know God because he has forgiven you of your sins. And you have this personal relationship with God. And that's what makes the new covenant better than the old covenant. In the old covenant, you know, it is just an agreement. I'll do what you have asked me to do. I'll work my fingers to the bones, you know. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Oh, but in this new covenant, it is a covenant where you believe in Jesus and you come to know God and your sins are forgiven and you know they're forgiven. And we go on and we talk about this just a little more. He said, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor. I can't tell you when you make peace with God. You can't tell me. In fact, I can't tell you that you've got eternal life. You tell me that you've been saved and you have eternal life, I'll believe you. But, you know, I can't tell you that you've got it, because that's between you and God. It's not between, you know, men. It's between the individual and God. And he said, and every man, and they shall not teach every man his brother and every man his neighbor, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Now listen, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You know, when you get saved, our sins, are covered by the blood. Jesus tasted death for every man. And we're saved because of what Jesus did, not because of what we do. And he said, I'll be merciful. You know, we don't get saved because we deserve it. We don't get saved because we've kept the law. We don't get saved because we go to church every Sunday. You see, it's not by works, but it's according to his mercy. According to his mercy. Titus, the book of Titus 3 and 15, this is what he said. He said that it is by grace that we're saved. I'm just having trouble with the scriptures this morning, remembering them. But I'm glad I can still find them. And this is what he said. Not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. By the washing of regeneration, cleanses us through the washing, the cleansing of regeneration, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so it's according to his mercy that he saves us. The new covenant makes that possible. And Jesus, he tasted death for every man. Now, let me back up and read this again, and I'll close. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You know, even after we're saved, you know, we make mistakes and we commit sin. But the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Now, what I'm fixing to say may be hard to understand. But when Jesus saved our soul, he forgave us of all of our past sins. And he forgave us of all of our present sins. And he forgave us of all of our future sins. He redeemed us from the penalty of sin. We're not under sin any longer if we're saved. We have been set free from the bondage of sin. Sin, it does not affect our eternal destiny because we have been redeemed and set free by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this new covenant, he said, in that he saith a new covenant, he made the first old. And that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So I've been trying to talk to you today about the better covenant. You know, it's so much better to be living under the dispensation of grace than it would be to still be living under the dispensation of the law. I'm glad today that the grace of God is free. It is free. It's offered to whosoever will. And Jesus, he is the mediator of the new covenant. And I would say this too before I close. In Acts chapter 2, he talks about Acts chapter 2. Now, I hope I'm not embarrassing you all. I'm not embarrassing me. Acts chapter 2. All right, here it is. Peter talking about Jesus says he was a man that was approved of God among you by signs and wonders and miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles. He performed in their presence. They saw the mighty power of the Son of God. And he said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, by miracles and wonders and signs, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up from having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible for death to hold him." Now, Jesus stood as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. This wasn't an afterthought with God. This was put into effect after the law of Moses failed and the old covenant failed. This new covenant that was given, it was put in place in eternity before the foundation of the world. That's why I said nobody ever got saved by works. It has always been by grace, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that the determinate counsel in heaven, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, based on foreknowledge, what they knew, not based on predestination, but based on foreknowledge, they put into effect a plan of salvation that would be available to every person. And that was by God's grace. He didn't have to do that. He provided it. And he provided the person of his Son to die on the cross for our sins. Well, I've stuttered and I've stammered, but I'm going to affirm I preach the truth. I preach the truth. I'm glad that I live under the new covenant. I'm glad that I heard the voice of God speak to me personally. I'm glad he showed me my sin. I'm glad that I sought the Lord for salvation. And I'm glad that he heard my cry. And he forgave me of my sins. And he gave me peace with God. And he gave me a home in heaven. And I didn't earn it, not one little bit of it, not a little of it. I didn't earn it. It was given by grace, by grace. I pray God will bless the message today. And I wish I had done better, but I didn't. So God can, he can take a stuttering, stammering preacher and deliver a message to somebody's heart. God can do that. I hope he did today. May God bless you. I said I was going to open the doors of the church, and I want to do that. We receive members by experiencing baptism. That is